You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone, and welcome back again to Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast. This is episode 83. Welcome everybody, welcome back. My name's Matt Hall, I'm delighted to be joined, as always, I say always, 8 months ago, it was always, by Jeff Hutton. Jeff, how are you?
Afternoon, I'm very well, thank you.
It's great to be back, isn't it? We're all still here, well, you and I are still here, and Gareth as well. It's brilliant to be back, isn't it?
It is, it's been a very long time. I know we did promise everyone at the fans forum to be Thursday, it's now Friday, so not got to the greatest of starts, but we're back nevertheless.
Please forgive us, we are a day late, we apologise. But we hope this is going to bring everybody back into the Ravens Weekly spirit. There have been a lot of you who've been asking where the podcast has been, and in truth, we don't really know, but it's back now, which is the most important thing. And we're going to get back into the swing of things, as we always used to, by talking about the recent games. And we're going to start with Torquay United. And Jeff, from the moment that it was selected for TV coverage, which was actually, I think, the Wednesday before the game, was very strange, but this one was a build-up of great form on the pitch and a promising crowd off it as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Highest crowd of the season, over 2,500, wasn't it? For the game live on TV as well, that's one hell of an effort. People could have easily chose to stay at home. So really, really pleased with the crowd on the day. But like you say, really strange one because it was chosen for telly lastminute.com and the kickoff time remained the same, which is obviously usually the issue which comes up in these games. You do get chosen for telly, your kickoff time gets moved. So was it international week?
It was international weekend. Yeah, it did. And it was odd, wasn't it? Because I think it was Boreham Wood versus Dagenham was meant to be the game covered on BT Sport, and due to unforeseen circumstances, which we don't actually know, I was going to say what they are, to be covered on TV last minute. But like you say, it didn't affect the crowd. It actually gave it a bit more of a buzz, didn't it, if anything?
Yeah, I must admit, I think it really had something else to it. I think it was a pleasant surprise for us. And like I say, the fact that kickoff time wasn't changed and it didn't alter anybody's arrangements or preparations for the game, I think certainly helped. And I mean, the boys delivered unbelievably.
Let's talk about the game itself then, and it was a really, what I would call, well-drilled performance. It was a fairly entertaining game, but I think Andy said in his post-match interview, it's not the best he's seen his side play, but they just looked well-drilled, didn't they? And talking of the two goals, they were two which were very, very well taken, and what a special moment, first of all, for Marcus Sablier, Academy scholar.
Absolutely superb. And there's no point us talking about it. We might as well let the commentators on the day sum it up for you.
Is that the professional commentators?
Impressive to have that level of consistency. And they're looking a threat here. Sablier, the player in the middle. Oh! That's special. Tremendous improvisation. And what a way that is to score your first senior goal. Brilliant.
I guarantee you will not see a better goal this weekend, I tell you that right now. And it's the first time really we've seen Gallagher run the channels, and it's Winter trying to play offside in that position, and then Sablier there taking a bow, because I tell you now, that is just world class. That is absolute quality. A delicate touch there, a goal that he will certainly remember for the rest of his career. Absolutely brilliant. Never get tired of seeing that.
A moment of genius from the 18-year-old. He even looked a little bit surprised himself there. Seriously, his playoff or even automatic promotion challenges. Webster's up from the back. And show me hit one. Oh, didn't he hit one? Nearly took the back of the net off. No wonder Andy Woodman's smiling. They're all smiling at Haisley. Certainly the home fans anyway. Tremendous finish there. His first goal since December 2017.
Well, we've been absolutely treated to two peaches of a goal, and he's been an absolute nuisance in the box. Omar Shomi, every time the ball has gone in, you talk about thinking in the 18-yard box, the composure of Webster to lay off his centre-half partner, who just strikes it absolutely perfectly. Nothing that McDonald could have done in the goal. And that really sums up the way that Bromley have played in this first half so far.
Shout out to Gallagher there, Matt. A fantastic ball in the box.
Yeah, that was a funny one, wasn't it? I think we mean George Alexander. And it was a great ball, wasn't it? And I think that needs to be talked about a little bit more, because without that fantastic cross into the box, the amazing finish and amazing scenes with Marcus Sablé just doesn't happen. It was a wonderful cross.
It was absolutely fantastic. And going back to, I think, Alex, who helps us out on the media front, actually interviewed him before the game, didn't he? You just get a bit of background, you know, and then you're just wondering when breakthrough moment might happen, and it happened about three hours after that interview.
You know, it was one of those days where you just think something has to go wrong. This is all going too well. Everything was falling into place, and it really was. Even the weather was great, wasn't it? It was just a fantastic day. The queue was outside the bar. Honestly, everyone just trying to get their drinks and halftime refreshments. It was just so good to see the buzz in the stadium.
That's a problem, to be fair. Coming to the fans forum.
And just to see the buzz. What I'm trying to get across, though, is just the buzz around the stadium, the amount of people there. It was just phenomenal. It really was a great day. And that brings us on to the second goal, which wasn't too bad either, was it?
Oh, what a hit.
Omar Shomi, and actually Adam Summerton, the commentator, did message us, which I obviously took responsibility for replying as one of the first people at the club to learn how to pronounce Omar's name. It was a special strike, wasn't it?
Did you refer to you for George Alexander as well?
Unfortunately not, no. That was the co-commentator, to be fair. But yes, it was a really, really great strike. And Omar's someone who has been in and out of the side due to injury early on, and has now nailed his place, I think, and has been playing really, really well at the heart of that defence with Byron Webster. He actually did spend some time in his earlier career playing as a centre-forward, and I think with that finish, you could see that, couldn't you?
Oh, wow, yeah, what a strike. And obviously, straight up after that, Matt, it was FA Cup action.
It was back to FA Cup for what seems like the first time in forever. And of course, the draw saw us play away to Hungerford Town. And I think we always knew it was going to be a difficult game. When you get drawn to a side even one league below than yourselves, you just know they're going to be really up for it. It is a big occasion for them as well as us. And they certainly were up for it, Hungerford. They really gave a great account of themselves. And overall, Jeff, in terms of our experience, we were on hand there. A very welcoming club, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, really welcome. It must have been a little reminder of the old days. It must have been. I mean, we were able to have a real ale on the terrace and carry on watching the game. I enjoyed one of them pre-match. But
I just had a Twix. Yeah, thanks for that, by the way.
It certainly was a bit of a trip down memory lane. But like you say, it wasn't an easy game by any means. And both yourself and me, well, mainly you, were commentating at the game. And here's a quick recap of the action. And we hear what Andy had to say after the game. It's here, Matt. They've taken a goal kick short. You just want to see us.
And Alexander there coming towards the goalkeeper, who does really well to take it around his man. It's an absolutely horrendous error from Luke Kearney at the back. Absolutely dreadful error from Kearney. And James Alabi's in the right place at the right time to profit. Bush with the throw in towards the 6-yard box. Shomi's there, so is Trotter. Comes to Cheek. Cheek goes for the effort. Cheek. Who else but Bromley's top scorer with an improvised effort?
Oh, yes, Matt.
Oh, he took that well, didn't he? Over his shoulder, bounced into the ground and looped over Luke Kearney. That's unlucky for Hungerford, but Michael Cheek is the man who comes on and delivers yet again. And it's Bromley 2, Hungerford Town 1. Andy, Bromley have taken on and comfortably beaten some very good sides in the past few weeks. I think it's fair to say that was our toughest test.
Unbelievable. Listen, I've watched them three times. they're a good team. They're well drilled, and we never took it lightly. And thank God we didn't, because they were excellent. They stuck to their plan. They done a very similar sort of game plan to what we'd done back in the last year with Resolute. I've got nothing but admiration for them, and that's not just because we won. If we'd have lost, I'd have said well played to them. They were brilliant. They're a credit to the town and the manager and everything. I really weirdly enjoyed the challenge today, and I just thought it was a lovely place to come and play football, win or lose. I generally mean that.
It's just the FA Cup, isn't it? These are just always tough, tough games.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we've got another one now, probably somewhere. But I thought it was. I don't know what it looked like from the outside, but I thought it was like exactly an FA Cup tie. And again, you know, we had to fight for everything right to the last kick. So credit to Hungerford. I really wish them all the best for the rest of the season. I hope they don't go up and end up in our league with us, because they're not bad. And I mean it with the utmost respect.
Getting to obviously give the penalty away, but good to capitalise on the error to get back level before half time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, the penalty is the penalty. That's what happens when teams turn you and you get caught the wrong side. The slightest little nick, it's a penalty. And that is what the FA Cup's about, you know, giant killing. We're not giants, by the way, let me make that clear. But I generally thought, you know, they give us more than a scare. And thankfully, we come through it.
And they fought till the end, didn't they, in fairness? And the side had to defend well at the end.
Yeah, I, like I said, I've watched them, and they don't give up anything this lot. I mean, anything. On the pitch, on the side of the pitch, and the ball's not in play. Fair play to them. I mean, they was on it, and we knew all the things we had to face. And luckily enough, you know, we had a lot of chances. There's no doubt about that. We could have won it 6-7-8, but we didn't win it 6-7-8, and we was fighting right to the last kick. So delighted to be in the round, next round.
It's not often you bring Michael Cheek onto the pitch, but he came on and did the business, didn't he?
Yeah, people probably might have looked at a few changes I made, and I can assure Hungerford. I really can assure Hungerford that wasn't us disrespecting them. We've had players, i.e. Michael Cheek, just training one day a week just recently because he's been carrying a knock. Our goalkeeper's injured, so that wasn't like a change I wanted to make. So all the changes, other than Byron Webster, were forced upon us, and I just felt it was a good time to sort of maybe just rest Byron a little bit. And he come on and done what Byron does, a solid captain's sort of finish for us. So yeah, there was no us resting players to try and make us look like really good and we've got a massive squad. It was more of a case of needs must a little bit and making sure that we looked after some players that were carrying knocks.
And there was a debut, an enforced change. Obviously, Rhys Charles Cook making his first start for the club. How do you feel he did today?
Well, Rhys is a top goalkeeper, a really top goalkeeper. He's played at the highest level in football, and he's been training with us for a little while now. And I had no qualms about Rhys playing today. Cousins was injured, Rhys went in, and the lads have just given a round of applause. That's probably his first game since the summer, and he was excellent, and he's really, you know, really part of our club and our squad, and I'm delighted to have, in my opinion, two really good number ones.
And back to league now, the attention switches back to the league as we travel to Aldershot Town next week, another away game.
Yeah, let's just get over this one first. I'm going to need a cold beer after that one. I've got to be honest, I'm worried about Aldershot next week. I'm just happy to sort of, you know, be in the draw. And listen, I explained to the younger players in the squad, being in that draw tomorrow, they won't understand it until tomorrow when they're waiting for their ball to come out and all their family are. And that is the beauty of this cup. And I'm looking forward to the draw myself. It's my first FA Cup as a football manager. I've got to the cup final as a coach. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I really am. And I hope the boys are. In fact, I know the boys are. So it's exciting times for the club.
One more thing. Good attendance from both sets of supporters today, and really important for the supporters again to get behind the team like they did.
Yeah, our support, I mean, was fantastic, and I hope they noticed that all the team, myself, really appreciated that. And me personally, I've probably been guilty of concentrating on the game and not actually thinking about the crowd, because we haven't had them prior to this. But they were brilliant today, the crowd, and I must say Hungerford's hospitality here around the place has been sensational. Really, really lovely club, and again, I'm not saying that just because we won. I had a drink, a cup of tea with the directors in their office beforehand, and they've been really welcoming to us, and I genuinely wish them all the best.
Well, Andy, thanks for your time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Always great to hear from Andy after a game, Matt. His interview certainly seemed to go down well with everyone.
I love doing interviews with Andy. He just comes across so well, and it really gives a good representation of the man who is managing this team at the moment. And they're always really enjoyable to do because Andy's very honest, very feet on the ground, and the players all comment on that as well. But at the same time, he's very lighthearted in the interviews, and it's great to hear the supporter feedback on the interviews and how people are enjoying listening to them, and long may that continue. And I think in that one as well, we can just see the honesty, that it wasn't a pretty performance from Bromley that day. But if you look at the amount of upsets there were in the FA Cup, it just makes it all the same an even better result, doesn't it?
Most certainly. Two big shout outs on that day. A, the fans who made the trip, a big turnout from Bromley, and a big shout out to the fans who also jumped on a supporters coach that day. I think about three quarters full, to be fair.
Yeah, so still along with you and I.
We were on there. Still got some work to do there. We've got the three coaches obviously coming up. More details on that later in the podcast. But also a shout out to Paul Richer, who did his best to get involved in your post-match interview, Matt.
Paul Richer's fantastic. Paul, I know, will be listening to this podcast. And all I can describe it is hearing a really loud scraping sound as Paul was being helped out of the ground, which obviously meant we had to step out of the way and let Paul and those helping him out of the ground through. And Andy really saw the funny side of it, and Paul was laughing himself as well. So thanks for that, Paul. You certainly provided us with a bit of a laugh, and it's great to be able to see the fans' coaches. I think Paul has been on every single fans coach since we started doing them, and he was one of the people that was always asking for them and needs them to get to the away games, and it's really good to see that his support is always there as someone who supported the club for such a long time. So thank you, Paul, for that laugh, and thank you for your support and joining us on the day.
We've obviously got a lot more coming up on the coaches later in the podcast, but talking about the supporters, Matt, obviously we had straight into the fans forum on the Monday night.
We did, yeah. So following that FA Cup fever, we went straight into the fans forum on the Monday. And of course, I won't go into the last event of this type that was held at the club under a manager quite a long time ago.
Hayden Bird,
yes. So this one was something out of the ordinary, I think, really, for supporters. And I think the feedback initially was that people were really pleased to see the chairman and the club taking a real interest in what they have to say in these times where, let's be honest, a lot has changed around the club in order to progress us forward. And I think from the supporter side, it's just about understanding what is going on, why, and why it's happening. And Jeff, you were on the panel yourself. I think it's fair to say it was a very constructive and productive evening.
I think you're right, Matt. I think it works both ways. I think it was obviously one for supporters to hear from the club, but it was also one for the club to hear from the supporters and stuff that they weren't happy with. Issues that have probably been a recurring theme that they want brought up and fixed and corrected. But over and all, like you say, we won't go break down the whole thing. I think the whole thing's still up on YouTube.
It's on YouTube for those who would like to catch up with it, yeah.
For those who couldn't attend on the day, the whole thing's up there. Apologies for the audio quality. And my mic never works, by the way. Every time it cut to me, my microphone just didn't work. But
did have mic issues, unfortunately.
But it was great. I mean, we had 100 people in the room. It was fantastic to see everybody turn out on a Monday night. And again, chairman very much led all of this. A, organising it. B, putting on the free bar for those attended. Making sure it was live streamed out. He's really taken a lead on this, and we're very fortunate that he's really investing in this. And we spoke about doing the next one in January. We're talking about a fans board. I think we spoke about Ravens supporters board, for example, getting a sort of representative group together. Some more on that's going to be on the website, hopefully come Monday. So do check out that, because I'm going to try and play a large part in that. We'll also get the general manager involved, Michael, and hopefully we can get a meeting in the diary, pretty quick on that front, once we've got some candidates and volunteers that want to help out. And I know we've had a few already, so we'll put all that details out on the website on Monday for those that want to get involved. I'm sure we'll have a really good response, and we'll be able to get something organised on that front. But yeah, it was just a pleasure really to see everybody together. And I think Andy, Hamo and Robin all came across really well. I think for Andy, I think a lot of the fans forget he started this job without any fans, really. I mean, he did all of the games of last season, really, up until, what was it, the Notts County game without any fans. So that was actually probably his first time that he's actually met supporters face to face
and interacted with them. And I thought, like you say, I thought all four of you came across really, really well. And there were some interesting questions from the fans. Who, thank you to everyone who attended. They really did provide some thought provoking questions. And actually, you and I thought we were going to get away with it. The final question, I think one of the final questions of the night was, where has the podcast been? Well, I think it was Andrew who asked the question. Andrew, we're back now.
Questions by that point.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's given us a little push to come back. But all in all, a successful evening. And like you say, Jeff, looking forward to more of those in the future.
Definitely. And like I say, Andy's first chance face-to-face. And obviously, you caught up with him very briefly this week, Matt. And he certainly seemed to enjoy it.
You were on the panel on Monday's Fans Forum meeting, the first one for many years here at the club. How did you find that?
I thought it was brilliant. It was my first opportunity to really properly engage with the fans. I haven't had many opportunities, obviously, since I've been manager. And it was really a really nice evening. And it was really good feedback from people. I thought the whole thing was very positive. So I really enjoyed the interaction with the supporters. It was a really good night.
And again, apologies for the audio quality of that clip. It wasn't that. Matt does a fantastic job asking the questions. Josh, bless him, wherever he is, we need to fix our microphones on the camera. That's two interviews we'll now do. This week.
Apologies, that did seem to have the gunshot from the starting of the athletics at Norman Park, you know, with the little starting gun. But anyway.
Moving away from first team affairs, Matt. FA Youth Cup and ladies. Well, we start with the FA Youth Cup.
Yeah, so it was a really successful night. I think it was last week, wasn't it? Away to Barnet. This group of youth players is just very, very special, isn't it? I think Sol Kader got a hat trick that night. It was a 5-0 win away to Barnet, which is a fantastic achievement. There are some really, really talented young players at this squad. And I'm not just talking about the ones that are knocking on the door of the first team. There are some in the under-18s as well that have got really bright futures. It was brilliant to see a handful of them on the bench actually against Hungerford. And we've got to remember that last year's FA Youth Cup, this was how Marcus Sablier was unearthed, you know, and we can now look ahead to seeing some of these players in the first team. We've seen that Andy and the team are giving youth the chance, and it's actually really exciting to think there could be more Marcuses and more Liam Vincents actually to come through the pipeline. A 5-0 victory, and they progress to the next round against Lewis. Outstanding.
I probably shouldn't say this, and I must admit the hospitality on the night was fantastic, but Barnet wanted to play it on the 3G pitch behind their pitch. Behind their stadium, and it took us to actually speak to the FA to say, look, we'll either host it or it needs to be played inside. I just think it's a sign of just how well I think our academy are supported, and how we try and really push and try and operate at the best standards, etc. It was really quite a shock. And I know Barnet promoted the game in the end, and like I say, the hospitality night was fantastic, but the fact they didn't want to play in the stadium in the first place was a bit disappointing to see. But, and again, because our academy players, they get the opportunity of playing out on our stadium, fortunately, so, you know, regularly. So I'm really glad it was eventually played at Barnet Stadium, because again, okay stadium, you know, it's a new experience for our young players that are involved. And like you say, it turned out to be a fantastic night. The goals, I think, are all on the website. James Tanner turned back out to get some great photos for us. And I know in the stand, Andy Woodman, Mark Hammond and Brandon Daly were there, you know, from the first team. So that was always good to see. And I think the players could see that as well. So, yeah, absolutely fantastic. Fantastic evening. And like you say, Matt, rewarded with a trip to Lewis.
Dare I say it as well. You talk about playing on the stadium pitch, another argument for 3G, that you know, the youth, the benefit that it brings them, and actually the sense of occasion for these games, which the young players deserve, don't they?
Well, most certainly. It was really surprising. Like I say, hospitality was fantastic on the night, and they hosted it on the stadium in the end. But that was quite odd. Although I am looking forward to a trip to the Dripping Pan.
Yeah, it's a nice ground, isn't it?
To Lewis.
It is a nice ground, and best of luck to the young players.
I think the last time we went down there, we might have been 2-0 up, and then drew 2-2 or lost 3-2. But it's a long time ago. I think Steve King might have been a manager for that.
Oh, wow. That's going back quite a while then.
That's how long ago it was, yeah.
Wow.
And when's that game? Next Monday?
It is next Monday, yes. Yeah. So we'll obviously bring you up to date with all of the proceedings from there, and I'm sure bring you the goals and hopefully good news of Bromley progressing further. And, you know, we've seen that side of things. FA Youth Cup last year, you know, especially for you and I, Jeff, who unfortunately supporters not able to be in the ground at that point, but it was really special to be able to follow the team's progress. Fratton Park being just one of those, you know, there were some great home games along the way. And I think some of those were in that period when we actually were allowed to have fans in the ground in December, weren't they? Because we were allowed to have a small number in. I think there was that period in December where there was a couple. And then obviously, unfortunately, Portsmouth, Swindon, the later games, it was returning to no spectators. But what a special bit of progress for the youth in this club that was. Let's hope for the same this time around.
Most certainly.
And that brings us nicely onto another special occasion that's coming up. We're going to jump slightly ahead of the Aldershot game here because the day after, the Sunday, it feels like a first team match day, which is amazing. We're going to have the brilliant Bromley Ladies here, Jeff, in FA Cup action, and there's been so much build up to it, hasn't there, on and off the pitch.
I'm really, really pleased to say we're certainly going to be on for a record-breaking crowd on Sunday for Bromley Ladies. They progressed with a thumping win over Maidstone United a few weeks back.
Seven, wasn't it?
I think it was seven. I should know, I was there, but I can't remember. Unfortunately, last Sunday they fell to a defeat in the Kent Cup. That was away at Dartford, but I think they're really looking forward to this Sunday at Hayes Lane. We're just over. I'm just going to quickly check on my phone, Matt. I think it was.
Drum roll.
Hang on, my connection's not very good, so you might have to keep that going.
Oh, the Wi-Fi's gone. My arm's starting to ache here.
344.
That is incredible.
So far.
We'll be over 350. Well over 350, I would imagine.
Looking forward to Sunday. It's free admission. Please do register for your ticket online. Again, it just helps us plan.
Very simple, isn't it?
For the date.
Very simple process.
So like you say, Matt, in excess of 350 going to be here in Hayes Lane on Sunday. Kick off 3 o'clock. It's half-term week, so our youth teams aren't in action other than our Kent Youth League teams. We've got two home games, one at 10, one at midday, both on the stadium. And then Bromley Ladies take to field at 3 o'clock against Hastings United in the Women's FA Cup. And Matt, it's been a real sort of club-wide effort to get everyone behind this game, whether it's been the Wildcats on a Saturday. The Wildcats, for those who don't know, obviously the girls football coaching for the younger ages, whether it's been our youth academy girls teams, a girls academy, Bromley Bells, everyone's sort of come together to get behind this, or whether it's mascots, flag bearers, simply attending the game. It's going to be a really good day.
We really, really have. And I must point out particularly Dave Poynting, the ladies coach, has been really, really instrumental in our effort to really publicise this and engage with people. And you mentioned the Wildcat session last Saturday. We hosted our weekly Wildcat session, which is for girls aged 4 to 10. So if you've got a daughter or you know somebody who's got one around that age, bring them down to try a session. Andrea and Bridget from the Bromley Bells actually coached the session, which is brilliant. Even better to give these girls role models to look up to. But not only did Dave come down, the chairman of Bromley Ladies, Ian, came along with Chloe Robertson, who's one of the players, and Jade Davenport as well, who's one of the Bromley Ladies players. And they joined in with the session. They engaged with the kids and the coaches. And at the end, Dave, I think some of you might have seen it on Instagram. I took a video and Jeff, you posted it across the club socials of Dave telling the girls that they would be invited to be mascots. And there was one particular young girl whose face just absolutely lit up. And it's that moment, isn't it, for us doing what we do, where you think it's all worth it.
And there were so many moments on that Saturday off camera and all of that. Like I say, watching Jade on the pitch playing with the girls involved.
Really getting involved, yeah.
Genuinely, you know, they're very quickly becoming role models for those young girls that are just starting out in football. It's brilliant to see. And again, it's happening inside our stadium. You know, we're their first intro into football. As people talk about fans, strategy, what we're doing for the future, you know, we really do. It really is embedded into everything we do within the community scheme and the soccer schools and what we're doing really at grassroots. And again, the tons of volunteer parents, coaches that are making all of that happen. You can't thank them enough. But Sunday, I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how big the crowd could be. Most importantly, I'm really cheering them on to a win. Hastings is a league above, I believe, so it's going to be a really, really tough game for them.
I just want to jump in very quickly. Yourself and I, as we mentioned, were on the FA Cup fans coach last week, and the amount of fans that were saying to us, do you know what, we're going to come down. We're going to come down and support. We're really looking forward to it. It just really, really shows. And, you know, yourself and I, for 3 years now, have really, really tried to push the women's and the girls element of the game, and along with so many others at the club. and it's really nice to see that it's bearing fruits now. And like the most important thing for me is, you picked up on it there, these young girls have got role models to look up to, just like the all of the boys that we have here do with the first team. And I think that's really, really important. And it's absolutely... It's really, really amazing that we've got the setup and the pathway here for them to be able to do that.
I think the chairman mentioned it in the last fans forum about women's football and what the next steps are and stuff like that. And I think it's important. I think Bromley ladies have very much looked after themselves in previous years. They've kept themselves going. They've very much enjoyed some successful seasons, etc. And it's nice to see them now, you know, being highlighted and hopefully getting a reward and certainly playing in front of a crowd that they deserve on our Hayes Lane pitch inside the stadium
with the
in
support.
The Women's FA yeah. Cup, 3 o'clock on a Sunday with a massive crowd.
Come on, Bromley!
Very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really exciting.
Back to first team affairs, Matt, but very much still on FA Cup topic. You managed to catch up with Billy Bingham this week, and here's what he had to say.
Billy, although you weren't involved on the day, it was great to get through to the first round of the FA Cup, wasn't it?
Yeah, really good. Them games are tough games. You look at it and you think, oh, we'll go there, get a result from the outside, but it's never as easy as that. So to get the win and the hat for the next round, well, we've got a drawn hat. I'm just the main thing.
And Rotherham United away is the draw. Yourself has played a large amount of games at that level. Still, are you looking forward to it as an occasion?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's a lovely stadium. It's a lovely pitch. It'll be a really good game. But we'll go there to try and get a result and get through to the next round. I'm looking forward to that game. It'll be a good one.
And obviously the team's in great form at the minute, so it must be the dressing room must be a good place to be at the moment.
Yeah, it's a really good place to be. You know, start of the season, I think it was the first two. Lost one, drew one, and then things turn quickly. Football changes so quickly, so that's what we've got to keep hold of as well. Change room's good, everything's good, but we need to keep on it because Saturday can change everything. One loss and it changes the mentality of everything. So we'll go there thinking, let's get the seventh in a row and then the eighth. That's the mentality.
I think it's fair to say the manager has a very feet on the ground mentality as well, doesn't he, when things are going well, and I guess that rubs off on the team, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. No one ever gets carried away with anything, and he puts it into us most days, like I just said, about get the seventh, keep the run going, and just stay on their feet. No one gets carried away. It's a really good change room. We're looking to keep it going as long as possible.
And you've been in great form this season. How do you feel about your own personal performances so far?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I feel like we're finding a good blend of when to go long and when to go short. I'm just enjoying playing and getting a lot more of the ball, I feel like. And it's going well so far, but like I just said, next game is the one that I take next, and that's gone now.
And yourself and Liam Trotter are the experience in midfield, if you like. How good have Jude Arthurs and Marcus Sabley been to play alongside amongst all the other players as well?
Yeah, they're great. Obviously, Trotz, when he's playing, we sit in there together and we let Jude and Marcus run off where they want to go. But they're great players. They can play, but they also work hard. That's the main thing. When you're in there and you've got somebody that can really play but don't work hard, it makes it so hard. But with them two, they do the graft as well as have the quality on the ball, and they're doing really well, and I hope they continue the way they are.
And finally, for yourself, obviously a whole season behind closed doors last year, just how good has it been to have the fans back in? I know the players have been talking about how great the support's been recently.
Yeah, it's been great. It really does change everything. For me, the most noticeable thing was running out on a cold day. When you run out and you haven't got nothing behind you, it's running out into a behind closed doors sort of game, and it's got no real feel about it. But there's been many games, Torquay, the latest one, where you run out and you think, I'm in a game here. And it does change everything. It gets you going. It does raise you. It does give you an extra 5%. And even when things are going well and when things are going bad, when things are going well, you feel like you've got the momentum. It gives you that extra momentum. When things are going not so great, although we've not had many this year, it does give you a little oomph to get going. So they do have a massive impact on how we play and how we perform.
Billy, it's always great to catch up. Thanks for your time.
Matt, you've resurfaced from under the water?
I have, yes. Got my my snorkel, etc., my goggles.
We will fix the audio for next week, we promise.
Billy Bingham, first of all, what a player. I think he's been an unsung hero in this side, in this club, for a couple of years now. And this season, actually, it was really interesting listening to the discussions of the fans on the fans coach last week, just how much he is valued and appreciated by the supporters. He's a very, very, very intelligent guy off the field and a very intelligent guy on it as well. And I think that comes across in his interviews. And just if you just watch him for 90 minutes, it's fascinating, really. And I guess that brings us on to the FA Cup draw itself, Jeff, because obviously the unusual element of having the draw on a Sunday. Normally it's on the Monday evening, isn't it?
Yeah,
we had the draw on a Sunday on ITV. It's all changed.
Did you watch it live?
I didn't know. I was listening.
For the first ever time, I've not watched.
Yeah. So the story behind it is, I'm going to keep this very short, not to bore people. I was driving at the time, and my other half, Amy, bless her, I asked her to have it on Twitter on the live stream. So I actually listened to the draw as I was driving. So I can't say I watched it, but I did listen to it. You know, you've got to be careful when you're driving.
Mrs. Only Go Blue Water.
Bexley Heath for me. So yeah.
yeah. So Rotherham.
Rotherham it is.
Rotherham United.
What a stadium, by the way.
The
New York Stadium. It is an absolutely incredible looking stadium, isn't it, from the outside and the inside. And obviously, we have a habit of drawing League One sides, don't we? Peterborough, Bristol Rovers, now Rotherham. And of course, we tend to draw League One sides that are A, in the playoff spaces, and B, in absolutely phenomenal form. As Bristol Rovers were, I think, fourth or third at the time. Peterborough were doing very well. And Rotherham United are top of the form table at the moment in League One.
It's coming, Matt. I think the most important question is who we're going to get in the second round.
Of course, yeah.
The important need-to-know details will be released today by Rotherham. They're very much dealing with all of the ticket sales. I know emails have gone out to season ticket holders, and the details are all up on the website as we speak. They're reduced admission prices, to be fair. I mean, it's £13 for adults, isn't it?
Wonderful.
Under 13s are a quid. And of course, for those of you that were at the fans forum, our chairman, Robin Stanton-Gleaves, has again made the wonderful gesture of providing free supporters coach travel.
What a gesture that is.
To this game, like he did back in the Bristol Rovers game. Was it November 19?
It was, yeah. What, and the support on the day was unbelievable. Just the noise when the goal went in was incredible.
I think I remember the manager at the time, obviously, Spudge mentioned him with regards to the fans certainly helped drive the team onto victory. And let's hope that's going to be, onto the deserved draw and deserved replay that night. But let's hope again the fans can turn out in numbers and get behind him. I think, looking at the system now, I think we've almost sold out the second coach already.
Incredible. And I seem to remember, Jeff, yourself enjoying life in the away end that day, shall we say.
And for those of you that are looking for details on the coach travel, all of them can be found at bromleyfc.co.uk.
Yes, let's move on then.
What are we moving on to? Oh, player appearances. The players have been down to
school. We are. Yes, so community. So obviously yourself and I on the community side now working hard to get the players involved in our community activities. And the first two, honestly, Joe Partington and Luke Coulson, both absolute gentlemen, joined me today at St James's RC Primary School in Petswood, which is where we were hosting our soccer camp just for children from that school this week. And they came down to watch the session, get a bit involved, engage with the children, and they both did a phenomenal job. I caught up with them after the visit, and here's what they had to say. Okay, I'm joined by Luke Coulson and Joe Partington. You've been our first players to do a community visit this season. And Luke, you came down to St James's Primary School for our soccer camp here. How'd you find it?
Yeah, it was really good. Very enjoyable to see the smiles on the kids' faces, and obviously they were very enthusiastic and confident, despite the slightly muddy pitch, should we say. But no, we had a really good laugh with them, and they seemed to enjoy our company.
And Joe, you came into the grounds and you were getting involved straight away. There was no holding you back.
No, I think it's important when you come to this stuff to see the kids that you just get involved, really, sort of to be stood on the side I remember when I was a kid and you get involved with a football player, whoever it might be, if they're involved and playing with you, it's quite a nice opportunity for them. I know one of the kids nutmegged me, so he's obviously, you know, that's something that he's going to remember for the rest of his life, or probably not. Some of the kids were scoring great goals. I think one of them did a celebration as a velociraptor at one point, which was excellent. But being involved in this sort of stuff is cool, man. And you know, me and Luke enjoy coming down. And like he said, seeing the smiles on the kids' faces was great.
Joe, as well, you forget in times like COVID where we weren't able to do anything like this, just how much of a difference it makes to people. And it's just nice to be able to interact with them, isn't it?
It is. I mean, most football clubs at this level are certainly enormous in the community. Bromley's no different to that from what I've seen so far this season. And I think it helps, obviously, that the first team has been successful, but the attendances have been going up game by game, especially at home. You get to see how much activity the pitch gets with kids on Saturday mornings and evenings, and that community feel around a club, obviously, for us as players is important. We'd like to be well supported. But yeah, you miss it when it's gone. Sometimes you don't realise what support can do for you as a football club. And obviously, without it was a very difficult period of time for everyone. And now that it's back, it's, you know, hopefully, as Luke said, long may it continue. But we seem to be on a nice track at the moment, and that's nice for supporters, obviously, to be able to get behind us.
And finally, Luke, we've tried to get a few new fans on board today. I think it's fair to say, hopefully, a success.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if Joe can keep allowing children to nutmeg him, then it's going to be a great success. Easier than they probably think. But no, it obviously went really well, and look forward to doing it again soon.
Great to see the players involved, man, having such a laugh. I know there's a few videos, I think, and some of the photos going up online later. Probably online already, sorry. Really, really good to see.
It was great to see. And, you know, we were giving out the flyers at the end of the session, and the kids were asking the players to sign them and asking for pictures when the parents came to pick them up. Absolutely amazing. And of course, we've invited all the children down to the FC Halifax Town game next Saturday. And I know Luke and Joe are going to make an effort to say hello to them when they come down. And of course, that brings us on to the next week of community activities here at Bromley Football Club. So we're recording this on a Friday. Tomorrow, ahead of the Aldershot game, we've got our Saturday morning soccer school on the stadium pitch, along with our Wildcat session. And Andy Woodman, Roger Johnson and Alan Dunn have very kindly volunteered to come down and meet the children, engage with the coaches and come and watch the session, and hopefully get some good photos with everybody. So, yeah, really, really good. And next week, obviously, we've got our October half-term soccer camp here at the football club. So if you've got a young child that would like to join us for that one, we'd be more than happy to have them. It's 9 till 3 every single day next week, Monday to Friday, at just £20 a day. And with that, they get FA qualified DBS check coaches. They get to meet and greet the first team and watch some of the training sessions on their lunch breaks. It's just a great day of football fun for them all. And of course, we've got some player visits lined up for them next week as well.
Brilliant, Matt. Back to first team affairs. Obviously, like you say, we're recording this on Friday. Tomorrow is Aldershot away.
It is Aldershot away, and actually, it feels like yesterday that we were at Aldershot. Do you remember that game? That was
Joe
incredible.
Kizzy, header at the back post.
Header
it?
At the back post from Joe Kizzy, and honestly, that was one of the
both
first
dugouts almost out of anyway. Yeah,
that was one of the first times supporters were allowed back in at Aldershot, and they were really getting behind their team. There were definitely no Bromley fans in attendance on the day, were there? if some of the pictures might suggest otherwise. And what a day it was. Michael Cheek putting Bromley ahead, and James Alabi grabbing a second, only to be pegged back on two occasions by Harrison Paniotu. And then, like you say, Jeff, I think the catalyst was Harry
picture
Forster coming on.
Harry
Forster coming on and setting up those two goals. And I was right next to the home fans at that point in the press box. I probably overreacted a little bit. But that result, for me, was just as important as the Notts County win, because if we didn't get that, we had no hope of getting in the playoffs.
Oh, it was massive. It was huge. It was huge. Like I say, minutes to go, it was over. Season was over. That's what it felt like, most certainly. But like I say, a bit of a different story this season, Matt.
It is, isn't it? And obviously Bromley on a great run at the moment. Aldershot, not so much. But, you know, you have to be really careful of these sides that are looking to turn the corner. Mark Moseley is the new manager after Danny Searle was relieved of his duties at Aldershot Town. And he's going to come in and really expect a better performance from his side tomorrow. They want to get that win on the board, and they're going to give it all they've got against us. It really is going to be a tough game. We're hoping the weather's going to be a bit better than it's been, or a bit more consistent, at least, than it's been this week. But it should be a great game of football, and let's hope that the Bromley fans can get down and back the team in voice, Jeff, like they've been doing recently. You talk about the Hungerford game. That really did help get the players over the line.
100%. And Matt, you jumped back under the water to interview manager Andy Wood.
It's sunny now. Weather's been a bit funny this week, hasn't it? How have the boys been training this week?
Yeah, they've been good. We've had, I think we've had all four seasons other than the snow in our training days. But it's been a good week. You know, we've worked, you know, meticulously hard like we always do in preparation for Saturday's game away to Aldershot. And we're all in good spirits. And, you know, hopefully we know the importance of trying to keep this momentum going that we've got at the moment.
And you always say every game in this league is tough, and Saturday will be no exception, will it? Especially with the side wanting to turn their form around.
Yeah, I actually, weirdly enough, I've said this probably be our toughest test that we've had so far. People might think I'm mental when I say that, but they've had a new manager come in, made a few signings, they're trying to play a different way. They've had a behind closed door games that we know about. Our spies. They'll be fully ready for this game for sure, to try and get their first home win on the ball for the new manager. That said, you know, we've got to go about our business. We know all of those things, but we've got to make sure we do the right thing that we do and stick to our game plan. And if we do that and we're professional and work we like, then we'll be okay.
And you talked about the importance of the fans, particularly at Hungerford, at the Fans Forum on Monday, and hopefully replicating that this week away to Aldershot.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a million miles away, so I'm hoping we have a real good turnout of fans going there. I'm sure we will. I'm sure they'll be as noisy as ever. And win or lose, they can be sure that we'll be going over to Clapham and show our appreciation for them travelling to the games and supporters for sure.
Andy, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Great to hear from Andy as always there. Matt, I know we're hoping to get a manager and a player interview every Thursday now on a regular occasion, so that'll feature on the website and obviously the podcast, which should be every Thursday moving forward, hopefully.
Sorry, I'm still just getting my breath back from being underwater for that long. I'm getting used to it, but it will be obviously a more regular feature, and we're trying to obviously keep you all abreast of what's going on with the player interviews and everything that we're doing. So yes, podcasts, we're going to make an effort to do it on a much more regular basis. It definitely won't be 8 months until the next one. I can say that safely. But it's been wonderful to be back, hasn't it, Jeff? And hopefully everyone's enjoyed the episode.
Most certainly. Wherever you're listening, downloading, Spotify, iTunes, podcast, wherever you're listening to it, I really hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back again next week. Hopefully we'll see a lot of you at Aldershot on Saturday, and even more of you, I really hope, at Hayes Lane on Sunday for Bromley Ladies. And until then, we'll see you later.
Take care. Goodbye. The town where I come from, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.